My name is Melissa, and I am chair of the board, having recently been appointed on June 4th. I'm delighted to welcome you to the company's 2025 annual and special meeting of shareholders, which is taking place today in a hybrid format. I'd like to acknowledge that we are meeting in person today on the traditional territory of the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, the Haudenosaunee, and the Huron-Wendat. We recognize that this land is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. We are joined today by shareholders, proxy holders, and guests, both attending in person and online via a live audio webcast. We're delighted to have the opportunity to hold this annual and special meeting in Toronto in the presence of a number of our valued stakeholders, rights holders, and partners. We also appreciate that having the option to attend virtually provides our shareholders an opportunity to participate in the meeting regardless of their geographic location. Whether you are joining us in person or virtually, we appreciate your ongoing commitment and engagement. Your participation is vital to our continued success. On behalf of my fellow directors and management, we thank you for your ownership and interest in Hydro One and for participating in today's meeting. I will now call the meeting to order. In accordance with Hydro One Limited's bylaws, I will act as chair of the meeting. Here with me this afternoon are members of our senior management team: David Lebeter, our president and CEO; Harry Taylor, our executive vice president, chief financial and regulatory officer; Terry French, our executive vice president, safety, operations, and customer service; Megan Telford, our executive vice president, strategy and energy transition; Jillian Whitebread, our executive vice president and head of human resources; Renee McKenzie, our executive vice president, digital and technology solutions; Ryan Doherty, our acting head, capital portfolio delivery; Cassidy McFarlane, our general counsel; and Stephen Mantifil, our senior strategic advisor to the president and CEO. I'm also joined by Louise Megan, our corporate secretary. I would also like to introduce my fellow director nominees. In addition to David Lebeter and myself, the director nominees are David Hay, Stacey Mowbray, Mitch Panchuk, Mark Podlasly, Helga Rydell, Brian Vazjo, and Susan Walberg-Jenna. We want to take a moment to thank Cherie Brandt and Timothy Hodgson for their valuable contributions to our board since 2018. Ms. Brandt has decided to retire from the board and not seek election at the meeting, and Mr. Hodgson resigned from the board on April 28, 2025. I'd also like to thank Susan Walberg-Jenna for her leadership as interim board chair. I appreciate Susan's willingness to take this role, on this role, and look forward to continue to work with her as we advance our mission together. On our agenda today, we will turn first to the formal business of the meeting, during which there will be time for questions relating to the items of business at today's meeting from our registered shareholders and duly appointed proxy holders, including beneficial shareholders who have appointed themselves as proxy holder. We ask that our shareholders and proxy holders attending in person hold their questions not related to the business before the meeting until the second question period after the conclusion of the formal part of the meeting. Our shareholders and proxy holders participating online can also submit questions through the text box in the bottom left corner at any time during the meeting, which may then be answered during the question period. Alternatively, registered shareholders with a 16-digit control number or duly appointed proxy holders may also ask a question by calling either the toll-free or international phone number listed above Ask a Question box. As a reminder, guests will not be able to ask questions. As the corporate secretary of the company, Louise will act as the secretary of the meeting today. With the consent of the meeting, Estella Richard and Rosemary Cholokic from Broadridge Financial Solutions will act as scrutineers. Before we begin, I will ask Louise to speak to forward-looking information and to review the rules of conduct for transacting the business of the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. First, for the safety of those with us in person today, in the event of an emergency, please make your way to one of the fire exits that are located either side of the room. Once you have exited the building, please make your way safely across the street towards Nathan Phillips Square, where a member of staff will direct you. If you have any mobility issues, please remain seated and a Hydro One staff member will assist you. For those participating online, in the event of an emergency at our offices, please remain connected to the meeting and await further instruction. For those joining us in person today, I'd like to remind you that a printout regarding forward-looking information was made available to you at the registration desk. For those attending this meeting online, please note the link titled Forward-Looking Information is in the bottom right-hand side of your screen. The printout and the link contain important information regarding forward-looking statements that may be made during our remarks this afternoon or by those speaking during the question period. All attendees, regardless of joining virtually or in person, are encouraged to read this carefully. To facilitate the formal business of the meeting, the company has asked employee shareholders to propose and second formal motions. As this meeting is in a hybrid format, I will now provide guidance first regarding voting in person and online, and then on the question periods in person and online. Those with us in person today can cast their votes by ballot on each motion. You can only complete a ballot today if you are a duly appointed proxy holder or if you are a registered shareholder who has not already returned a proxy form or who wishes to change their vote. Broadridge provided ballots to registered shareholders and proxy holders upon registration this afternoon prior to entering the meeting room. If you are a registered shareholder or a proxy holder and did not receive your ballot upon registration, please raise your hand now and a member of the Broadridge team will come and give them to you. The scrutineers will collect your completed ballots upon closing of voting. If you are a registered shareholder attending online who has not provided voting instructions or appointed a proxy holder and wish to vote your shares, you may do so by clicking Vote Here button on your screen at this time and at any time during the formal business of the meeting. Duly appointed proxy holders, including beneficial shareholders who have duly appointed themselves as proxy holder, may also vote at any time using the same method. The polls are now open and will remain open until just before the conclusion of the formal business of the meeting. You must click Submit for your vote to be counted. Turning now to the question period. Registered shareholders and duly appointed proxy holders attending in person may ask questions with respect to motions before the meeting at the first question period by indicating that they would like to do so by raising their hand once the motions have been made and prior to closing of voting, at which time a staff member will bring you a microphone. To respect everyone's time, we ask that you limit your questions to no more than 1 minute. You will have the opportunity to raise any questions not relating to the business of the meeting, but relating to the business and affairs of the company during the second question period, which will take place after the formal part of the meeting concludes. Registered shareholders and duly appointed proxy holders attending online may ask questions at any time during the meeting by entering their questions in the Ask a Question box on the bottom left-hand side of the webcast screen and clicking Submit. Registered shareholders with a 16-digit control number or duly appointed proxy holders may also ask a question by phone by calling either the toll-free or international phone numbers listed above the Ask a Question box. If you wish to ask a question on a business item or during the second question period. Once connected to the operator, press star one to be placed in the queue. When asking a question, please state your full name. If you are a shareholder or duly appointed proxy holder, the name of the city and, excuse me, the name of the city and province or state where you live. If you are asking a question over the phone, please mute your web browser when speaking to prevent background noise. Before turning back to the chair, it is important to remind attendees that if you have voted your shares before the start of this meeting, your vote has been received by the scrutineers, and there is no need to vote those shares during the meeting unless you wish to revoke or change your vote. Following the meeting, we will post the final voting results on our website. The results will also be filed on SEDAR+. Chair, we have been advised by Broadridge Financial Solutions Incorporated that based on the proxies already deposited with them, enough votes have been received to carry each of the motions. Chair, those are the rules of conduct of the meeting.
Thank you, Louise. We will now proceed with the meeting. The notice of meeting in the form of proxy or voting instructions form were mailed on May 16, 2025 to all shareholders of record as of the close of business on April 26, 2025. The 2025 Management Information Circular for the meeting, together with our 2024 annual report, contained the audited annual financial statements for the year ended December 31, 2024, the auditor's report thereon, and the related management's discussion and analysis were made available through the notice and access system of the Canadian Securities Regulators. For those attending online, they are also available on the bottom right-hand side of your screen under Meeting Materials. We have received an affidavit from Broadridge as to the proper mailing of the notice of this meeting in form of proxy to shareholders, and a copy of the affidavit will be kept with the minutes of this meeting.
The scrutineers have provided a report regarding shareholder attendance. Based on the preliminary tabulation of proxies received to date, a quorum is present.
I accept the scrutineer's report and declare that a quorum of shareholders is present. As a quorum is present and proper notice of the meeting has been given, this meeting is now duly and properly constituted for the transaction of business. The final scrutineer's report will be incorporated into the minutes of this meeting. The first item of business is for the shareholders to receive the company's audited consolidated financial statements for the year ended December 31st, 2024, together with the auditor's report, both of which can be found in our 2024 annual report. The next item of business is the amendment to the articles of incorporation of the company, as amended, to reduce the minimum size of the board of directors required by the articles from 10 to 8. The text of the special resolution relating to the articles amendment was included within the Management Information Circular as Schedule B. I will ask Stephen Mantiville to make the motion.
I move the approval of special resolution found at Schedule B of the Management Information Circular.
Thank you. I'll now ask Natasha Bangaroo to second the motion.
I second the motion.
Thank you, Natasha. The next item of business is the election of the directors of the company. The Management Information Circular for the meeting lists the 9 director nominees. The election of the director nominees will be effective upon the issuance of a certificate of amendment with respect to the articles amendment, and the current directors will remain in office until that time. The nominees identified in the 2025 Management Information Circular for election as directors, in addition to myself, are David Hay, David Liebiger, Stacey Mowbray, Mitch Panchuk, Mark Podlasly, Helga Rydell, Brian Vajo, and Susan Wolberg-Jenna. I will ask Stephen to make the nomination.
I nominate each of the director nominees named in the 2025 Management Information Circular for this meeting for election as a director of Hydro Unlimited, effective upon the issuance of a certificate of amendment with respect to the articles of amendment, to serve until the next annual meeting of shareholders or until their respective successor is elected or appointed.
Thank you. I now ask Natasha to second the motion.
I second the motion.
Thank you. As no notice of additional director nominees was received in accordance with the company's bylaws, I declare the nominations closed. The next item of business is the appointment of the company's external auditors for the ensuing year and authorizing the board of directors to fix their remuneration. I will ask Stephen to make the motion.
I move that KPMG LLP be appointed as the company's external auditors for the ensuing year and that the board of directors be authorized to fix the remuneration.
Thank you. I will now ask Natasha to second the motion.
I second the motion.
Thank you, Natasha. The last item of business on the agenda today is an advisory vote on executive compensation, otherwise known as a say-on-pay resolution. As described in the 2025 Management Information Circular for this meeting, Hydro One's executive compensation program provides total compensation opportunities that are market competitive relative to peer companies and that are performance-based to attract, retain, motivate, and reward management talent. It is important to note that the president and CEO and executive leadership team compensation is entirely funded from the company's earnings and is not recovered through rates nor paid by customers. This say-on-pay vote forms an important part of our ongoing process of engagement with our shareholders. I will ask Stephen to make the motion.
Chair, I move on an advisory basis and not to diminish the role and responsibilities of the Board of Directors that the shareholders accept the approach to executive compensation disclosed in the Management Information Circular delivered in advance of this meeting.
Thank you. I now will ask Natasha to second the motion.
Chair, I second the motion.
Thank you, Natasha. It's now time to address questions related to the business of the meeting.
Questions related to the business of the meeting will be answered first from the room, second via the phone, and then last from our online webcast chat. If you have a question in the room related to an item of business, please raise your hand now and a member of staff will take a microphone over to you. There are no questions in the room. Operator, have we received any questions over the phone?
We have received no questions over the phone.
Thank you. I will now check the online webcast for questions. Chair, we have not received any written questions.
Thank you, Louise. The polls on all matters will be open for 15 more seconds. As a reminder, for those participating online, you must click submit for your vote to be counted. For those registered shareholders and duly appointed proxy holders participating in person, the scrutineers will collect your ballots now.
The polls are now closed with respect to voting on all the motions. As this is the final item of business, we ask those voting in person to return the ballots to the scrutineers. Scrutineers, could you please proceed to collect the ballots?
Based on the proxies received, the following motions have been carried. The adoption of the special resolution authorizing an amendment to Hydro One's Articles of Incorporation, the election of each of the 9 director nominees named in the Management Information Circular effective upon the issuance of a certificate of amendment with respect to the articles amendment, the appointment of KPMG LLP as the company's external auditor and authorization of the board of directors to fix their remuneration, and the say-on-pay resolution. The final report on voting results provided by the scrutineers after the meeting will be incorporated into the minutes of the meeting. We will also post the final voting results on the investor relations page of our website and will file the results on SEDAR+. Since there are no other matters of business to come before the formal part of the meeting, I declare the meeting terminated. At this time, we'd like to open the floor to any other questions that registered shareholders or duly appointed proxy holders may have relating to the business and affairs of the company. I will ask Louise to review the guidelines for our question period.
Thank you, Chair. For our registered shareholders and duly appointed proxy holders here with us in person or online, if you wish to ask a question, you may do so in the same manner as described for the formal part of the meeting. If you're in the room, please raise your hand when instructed. If you are not asking a question, we kindly ask that you remain seated at this time. For our registered shareholders and duly appointed proxy holders attending online, if you wish to ask a question, please do so by entering your question in the text box under Ask a Question and then hitting Submit. Registered shareholders with a 16-digit control number or duly appointed proxy holders may also ask a question by phone by calling either the toll-free or international phone number listed above the Ask a Question box. If you wish to ask a question during the question period, once connected with the operator, press star 1 to be placed into the queue. As a reminder, when asking a question, whether in person or online, please state your full name, whether you're a shareholder or duly appointed proxy holder, and the name of the city and province or state where you live. We will read the questions that are submitted and consolidate questions of the same nature. For information regarding the questions we will answer, please refer to the question period protocol on page 10 of the Management Information Circular. Proper questions will be answered first from the room, second via the phone, and then last from the online webcast chat. If you have a question in the room, please raise your hand now and a member of staff will take a microphone over to you. Tess, please hold the microphone so that the question in the room can be heard clearly. Before asking your question, please state your name and whether you're a registered shareholder or duly appointed proxy holder. If you're a proxy holder, please state the name of the shareholder who gave you the proxy.
My name is Paul Dernan. I'm a registered shareholder, speaking on behalf of myself from Burlington, Ontario. I'd just like a little bit of historical background here. Hydro One has only been around for a while, and my understanding is, and I could be wrong, that the government of Ontario made a piece of this company available to the public, but controls majority interests themselves. What is that percentage, if that is correct? Just a little bit of historical background. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. To repeat your question for the purposes of the minutes, I'll just say it back and you can confirm if it's correct. So your question is to know the percentage of the government holdings of Hydro One and to provide a little bit of history as to how the government came to hold that percentage. Is that your question,
Paul? And
what
percent do the public own? Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I will now turn it to the chair to answer our question.
And I'll make sure our CFO checks me if I get it wrong. The government of Ontario owns 47% of the outstanding shares of Hydro One. And since the IPO 2015, Hydro One has returned approximately $2.8 billion in dividends to the government of Ontario, which they deploy as they see fit in their priority areas.
So the public shareholders are the majority?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was the other way around, but I'm wrong. Thank you.
Thank you for your question.
Are there any further questions in the room? Tess, please take the microphone to the next person.
Mike, sorry. Okay, fine, I'll do that.
My name is Abid Raza, and I'm a shareholder. My question is about data. In other words, which jurisdiction do you store the client's data, number one? And if it is an outside organization, in other words, not Hydro One, then where does the ownership, which jurisdiction does this ownership of that particular company or organization rest? So that's the question.
Okay, thank you, Abdad. So to repeat your question for the purposes of the minutes, you would like to know in what jurisdiction does Hydro One store its client data?
Correct.
Is that your question?
That's part one.
Apologies, can you repeat the second part?
Part two was that it may be in Canada, but the company that is storing the thing may be a foreign company which is resident somewhere else.
Okay.
So my intent behind this is to try to figure out that our client's information is secure considering the social conditions prevailing today.
Thank you for your question. Your question is clear. Hydro One is committed to continuous and meaningful shareholder engagement at our shareholder meetings. I'll turn to the chair now to respond to your question.
Thank you for that question. I think we're all worried about our data these days, without question. So I actually don't know the answer off the top of my head. We do have our CEO who probably does, and our executive VP for technology and digital. Having said that, I think rather than extend this conversation, what I will ask, if it's okay with them, that we will post the answer to be as transparent as possible, and more importantly, to be as accurate as possible to respond to your question. David, did you want to add anything to that?
Good afternoon. I would just add that the data that we do get from customers and clients is considered private data, most of it. And there's very strict privacy rules in Canada, which we completely comply with. We do run our own data centers. I believe we do have some data that's hosted off-site, but it's probably not the critical data. We'll confirm that. And it doesn't leave, the critical data or private information does not leave Canada, and we retain ownership of it. Whatever we're dealing with does not have ownership of that data, but we will post a more fulsome answer.
Thank you for the question.
Are there any further questions in the room? Thank you, Tess. Can you please take the microphone to the next person?
Okay. My understanding is that not all of Ontario electricity is for consumption in Ontario. Some of it is sold to Wisconsin, Michigan, and New York State, and at a very low price, I'm told that. Now, is that because the lines and the towers aren't in the right place, and it's the only way to handle that situation? What can you say about that? Why are we not consuming all of our own electricity for ourselves?
Thank you for the question, Paul. I'll just repeat it to make sure I've captured it correctly for the minutes. You would like to know why is electricity to the U.S. at a low price, and is this because Hydro One has located its lines and towers in an incorrect place? Is that your question, Paul?
Yeah.
Thank you for your question. I'll turn to the chair to respond.
Thank you for your question, and I'm going to turn to our CEO to respond.
The ball keeps on bouncing. That's a great question. We have over 20 interties, so that's connections to other jurisdictions. So Manitoba on the west, Quebec on the east, and then to our neighbors to the south. Hydro One doesn't actually make the decision whether the electrons that are produced are sold into the U.S. or whether they're used within the province. We run the infrastructure, the towers, and the wires. But the independent electric system operator, which is owned and operated by the government, actually makes the decisions where those electrons go and at what price they are sold. Sometimes you have to get rid of electrons because the system demand isn't as high as you're producing. So on a very sunny day like today, if the wind was blowing, we got lots of solar, lots of wind, the nuclear plants and hydro this time of year, all the hydro plants are running, you might actually be generating more energy than you need, and you don't have a way of getting rid of that energy. So you might sell that to another person at a low price. But again, that is not a decision Hydro One makes. That's a decision the independent electric system operator makes. We do not have any generation. We strictly move transmission lines or electrons through transmission and distribution. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Are there any further questions in the room? Seeing no hands, apologies. Tess, if you could please take the microphone to the next person.
Can you say something about, as time goes by, my understanding is that the data centers and the AI development is moving daily, and the demands of these two are growing substantially. Is this going to create a shortage, or I'm not going to say blackouts, but is this going to create a problem going forward in terms of meeting the demand?
Thank you for the question, Paul. I'll just repeat it once again. So your question relates to the demands of data centers on AI compounding, and will this create a problem in the long term for Hydro One? Is that your question?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll pass the chair to determine the appropriate person to respond.
I think we know David's the appropriate person to respond.
Maybe I should have been sitting up at the front.
Yeah, come on up.
There's a lot of talk in the news media and everything you read about data centers. And data centers are really what it takes to run artificial intelligence. So the two are linked together. And they do use a lot of more data. Typical artificial intelligence search uses about 10 times the data that an old Google search would have used in the past. Now, what you see in some provinces, Quebec, for example, has put a ban on any new data centers over a certain limit because they want to make sure that they don't run out of enough power for their customers. The province of Ontario, any new data centers would have to be approved by the independent electric system operator in the locations proposed to make sure that we have enough electrons in the province or enough electricity to support that data center. And if you read the Integrated Energy Plan, which the province published last week, I believe it was last week, might have been the week before, I lose track of time, they actually talk about a special process they're going to put in place and procedures to manage the data centers so we don't end up running out of electricity, or even worse, driving the price up for residential customers to fund data centers. Those are the two things you have to think about. Do you have enough electrons, and what's it doing to the price for regular residents of the province?
Thank you. Are there any further questions in the room? Seeing no hands raised, operator, have we received any questions over the phone?
We have received no questions over the phone.
Thank you, operator. I will now check the online webcast for questions. Chair, we have received no written questions.
Thank you, Louise. And thank you, Paul. I think it is appropriate to conclude the question period now. We wish to continue to facilitate open, effective, and sustained dialogue between the board, management, and Hydro One shareholders and all our other partners. I'd like to refer shareholders and other partners attending the meeting to the company's corporate shareholder and stakeholder engagement policy on our website if you have any further questions. On behalf of the entire board of directors and management team of Hydro One, we thank you for attending our 2025 annual and special meeting of shareholders.
The meeting is now concluded. Thank you for attending. You may now disconnect from the meeting.